Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more, all great things. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm very excited about this week's show because my special guest interview is with Jason Mars. Jason is the co-author of a great book called No BS Price Strategy, which he co-authored with Dan Kennedy. Let me tell you a little bit about Jason. He is the CEO of Strategic Pricing Center, creator of the Simple Strategic Pricing System. And as I mentioned, he's also co-author of the book No BS Price Strategy with marketing legend Dan Kennedy. Jason is an intense innovator in pricing and marketing strategist. He coaches entrepreneurs and professionals to overcome price reluctance and resistance. And that's something everyday folks, everybody needs help with that. So you are going to really, really appreciate this interview. As I said, Jason helps coach people to overcome the resistance so they stop leaving basically huge amounts of money on the table and finally get paid for what they're worth and for all they deserve so they can have the freedom and security to enjoy the important things in life. All right, let's get right to my interview with Jason Mars.
Jason, welcome to the call.
Thank you for having me here. Glad to be here.
So, Jason, on these calls, typically we cover a lot of different marketing and business building topics, and I actually don't think, as much as I preach about it on Newsletter Guru TV and other areas, I've never really done a call actually in like 3 years purely on the topic of pricing, so I'm really excited about this. So what is price, and you know, why is it so important? Let's start there.
Well, price is ultimately the nexus of your business, meaning that everything you do must be done to support your price, and then your price must be set in such a way that it supports everything else that you do. And the other thing that it is a numerical representation of value to be exchanged. And what that means is both parties are actually receiving value. And where business owners have a tendency to get hung up with that little piece is they assume they're the only ones receiving value. They don't really think about profit going both directions. And the reason we came up with currency in the first place is it's an easier medium than bartering. You know, used to you go trade, you know, a couple of goats and for a donkey or something, but that was a lot harder to determine the actual value moving from one place to another. So we moved into currency, and that then, when you put a price on it, is a numerical representation of exchange. So you produce it, can produce it for them cheaper or easier than they can do it for themselves. And so they give you profit in exchange for that. The question is, are you making enough profit there in that?
Okay. So, you know, in the book, Jason, you offer, talk about nine ultimate price and kind of fee failures. Can you outline, you know, maybe just one or two of those for us?
Sure. And I also didn't throw in, you know, why it's so important with price. I should probably answer your second part of your question. Sorry about that.
Okay.
You know, it's the thing that makes price so important is that is ultimately how you get your profit, and your profit determines how fast you can grow. It determines the quality of your offering. It determines the quality of your staff and even the quality of the clientele that you can attract. So, you know, it's critical to your business. Hang-ups, is that what you just asked me, correct?
Yep. You mentioned in your book, like, I want to talk about hang-ups also, but I think you mentioned there's like, I think something like nine ultimate price and fee failures that people, you know, often fall into the trap of. Can you maybe pick out two or three of those and just talk about those?
Sure. They price in such a way that it attracts buyers who buy by price. You know, they get that stuck in their head that that's the main driver of the sale is price, you know, which would be another hang-up. And that happens to be wrong. There are three types of buyers. There's the price buyer, there's the value buyer, and there's the relationship buyer. And in the ideal world, you blend together the relationship and the value because they see the value that you provide, and then you form a relationship with them. It's where you get real loyalty. When you focus on price, what happens is you move them over to price buyer, and then the price buyer is only loyal to price. So, you know, second lowest price is ultimately just the first loser. Some other failures is they don't differentiate enough. They don't offer premium offerings. You know, the list goes on and on and on.
So, well, differentiation, let's talk about that. How does somebody overcome commoditization? In other words, how do they become, I sell this and so does, you know, my 12 other competitors? That, because when you become a commodity, I believe, and when, you know, it's basically apples to apples all the time, it really does come down to price. So how does somebody overcome, you know, being a commodity?
Well, unless they're selling something that is a very specific brand that you can buy anywhere, then they're not selling a commodity. And even if you're selling something that competes with, like, say, for example, you sell dish soap, but you've created your own dish soap, and you're going up against, you know, Dawn or whoever, your dish soap's not a commodity because you created it. It has its own differential aspects that you can find and use. And this is really, really true when it gets into any business with any type of service, and the more service you move into, the more it is true that there's no such thing as a commodity in that regard. Because businesses are ultimately like fingerprints. No two are identical. It's, you know, maybe your ability to fulfill is faster. Maybe you've got a better mannerism on the phone. Maybe you've got a certain political viewpoint. These things are starting to become more and more important in the marketplace, that people are aligning with businesses that more than just delivering of the thing also have these ideals that they align with. So this moves you past being a commodity. You have to be something for someone, if that makes sense. You can't have this big, broad net, you know.
Now, it also has to do, I mean, we learned this from studying Dan and his marketing strategies. You have to have the perfect target customer also. I mean, when you can line up the perfect customer with the perfect product, you know, with the perfect message, I think that's a home run. So,
I read
that when I read that section in your book, I mean, it just rings true to me. You can't be everything to everybody. You really have to pick your niche and kind of go after it and you know, as big of a way as possible, present the most value to this certain section of the people that are your target customer.
Yeah, you know, and it's this thing that everybody, especially when they first start out, you ask them, you know, who are you for? Well, everybody. Well, no, you're not. Let's presume that everybody was interested. If they were, you've got, 6 billion or so people on the planet. Could you possibly serve them? Well, no, of course not. So you have to start niching that down until you get to something you can reasonably handle. And when you start thinking about it in those terms, it makes it easier to start figuring out who it is exactly that you are actually for. And then, you know, as you're saying, you've got to get into what it is that they value. You've got to align whatever it is you're offering with that. You know, different people value different things, so that's where it gets complicated, and they value those things differently. But that's ultimately where the secret sauce is in your price.
Right. Now, in Chapter 2, Jason, you have the title is Discount Without Damage. You know, I think a lot of people, when times get tough and the economy gets a little rocky like it is right now, people feel like they need to discount to generate sales, but that can also be dangerous, but I love the way you actually titled that, Discounting Without Damage. So speak about the damage you can do with discounting, and then kind of address what you're actually saying in your chapter.
Yeah, me and discounts have a very uneasy relationship. On the one hand, you can drive a lot of sales with them, but on the other hand, they're very dangerous, because when you do a discount, you're taking the focus, again, off of your value that you're providing and putting it onto price. So ultimately, you're creating a price buyer when you discount. And what's more than that is it can actually sow the seeds of discontent. People start to wonder, well, if I can pay that now, why couldn't I have paid that last year? Why is this all of a sudden happening? Unless you have some offering that follows a natural life cycle, like maybe clothes or electronics, if you're especially in service, well, why has this all of a sudden gotten so cheap? You've been screwing me this whole time. Whereas if the price had never dropped, they'd have stayed happy. Some other things they've done. They've done, if you've ever read Dan Ariely's book, Predictably Irrational, he's got some examples of it, not the only ones. There's a lot of other examples of what they did is they took Sobe. You know the energy drink? You familiar with that?
Yep.
They took Sobe, and this one was supposed to make you smarter, and they divided up a college classroom. I forget what university Dan Ariely is at. And they divided it up so there wouldn't be a bias on how the test would come out. You know, so you got a mixture of the smart kids, the middle kids, and, you know, the kids that are not so smart. And they had the control group that doesn't drink anything. The other two go to a student union and buy the Sobe. The difference between those two groups, one pays full price, one pays a discount. After the test is done, the group that did the discount performed worse than any of the rest of them. So in that particular instance, the discount actually made them dumber.
Wow.
And you see similar things with wine. There is literally a real, it's placebo effect, of course, but there is a real felt literal difference in how things perform with price. They've done the same thing with wine tests where they funnel it in and they do the brain scan and they're pouring wine through the hose and so they have no idea what wine is going into this little tube that's coming into their mouth. The only difference is they are being told is price. And when they pour the same wine through at different price points, at the low price points, they get very little activity for pleasure. When they tell them the higher up the price chain they go, the more activity for pleasure they get. So it is a literal difference in how it's performing.
Now, I thought that was interesting. Is that what you're describing right there? Did you call that, I think you called that like price orgasms or something. Was that study you're talking about with the wines?
Yeah, I think that's
I told
it.
You I read the book.
I think that's the breakout that's in. Yeah, you know, it's and that's these are things that people don't think about when they're doing discounts. Another huge, huge problem, especially in a contracting environment such as we're in now, if the overall market is not expanding, then what is happening when you drop your price is you're just eroding the profitability for everyone. Because what happens when you drop your price? The person down the street drops theirs, so everybody starts racing to the bottom. Bad idea.
And there's no winners at the bottom, that's for sure.
No, you know, I mean, you've seen it in real estate. You see it just self-fulfilling in real estate right now, where these guys, and particularly the smaller up here, there's in my neighborhood, there's a younger person who has a younger company who, when you look at them compared to the companies that have been around for 100 years and compare houses that are almost identical, there will be, you know, $100,000, $150,000, $160,000 difference in price on a pretty much identical home. And
wow.
The younger guys, of course, racing to the bottom. It's just dropping the bottom out of this market here. We're back to 2001.
Now, Jason, in there's another chapter in your book, How to Compete with Free. And in there you talked about the million-dollar secret is that free has concealed costs.
Sure.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Well, look, any business transaction you're in, there are costs and there are benefits. So, you know, the example I was given comes from my health and education company, in which that business literally competes with free. And our therapists are very highly paid, and we do pretty well. You know, our top therapist is $250 an hour. We've got programs that go up into the thousands. We've got families who have spent well into six figures with us happily and cheerfully against free. Now, why would they do that when they could go get it for free? Law of supply and demand would seem to dictate that that's not even possible. Well, it's possible for several reasons. The first is because if you go into the government programs for getting it free, you're going to have to wade through a bunch of red tape to then have some bureaucrat make decisions about the therapy your child should get. And then it's going to become part of the public record. You don't get a choice of your therapist and even getting a therapist that's right for your child. It's just whatever they hand you. And you get all of these decisions taken away from you. For some people, this is way too much cost. They want to be able to go and make a decision right away, take action right away, get the amount of therapy that's right for their child from the right kind of therapist, as opposed to as opposed to having their hands tied by some government official. And whatever you want to look at, you know, don't get hung up, well, that's his business, that doesn't apply to mine. Well, of course it does, because whoever your competition is, there are pluses and costs to doing business with those, and they're doing business with you, same thing. Figure those out.
Yeah. So how do you, you know, can you give maybe a little primer course on, you know, how do you set prices? If someone's like, really, I don't know how to set my price, whether they have a product or maybe they're a consultant or a coach, how do you, you know, maybe talk a little bit about some of your strategies for setting price?
That's a big question.
Take as much time as you want.
obviously, I talk a lot against cost plus. Because it's old and antiquated, and it doesn't really take into consideration the value that's being provided, and it does nothing to demonstrate that value. But you obviously need to understand the cost of your business and know what those are. And if you're planning to take a loss for some period of time in order to grab market share, that needs to be a real plan as opposed to just doing it willy-nilly or by accident. So you really need to think about the purpose of a particular price point that you're going to use. The other thing that a lot of people do, of course, is, you know, even if they're using cost plus, they take a look around and see what everybody else is doing. Now, what everybody else is doing is only marginally relevant. You've got studies, McKinsey, I think, is who came out with it, that's showing 70 to 80% of businesses are underpriced. That being said, you come into industries that are totally underpriced, so it's entirely possible to be at the top of the industry as far as your price goes and still have prices that are too damn low that could be pushed higher. So, again, it comes back to this idea of being for someone and with a specific thing that really aligns with their values and is something they really, really want. You know, Gary Halbert said, I'll take a starving crowd over anything else. If you're familiar with Gary Halbert, old famous direct marketer.
Yeah.
I would add to that, they better not be starving because they're broke. Pick somebody who has the money to pay for what it is you're providing. And, you know, I encourage people to be premium providers, not just for pulling the profit out, but for pushing the market forward to newer and better solutions. You know, and that, it gives you that ability, which then gives you the ability to push higher and higher into ever better customers, ever better offerings, ever better staff, and a much better, more stable business.
All right, we're going to pause here for a very brief timeout, but on the other side, Jason has more incredible words of wisdom about pricing and profit in your business. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
It costs at least 5 times more to attract new customers than it does to retain and sell more to customers you already have. Some even claim it costs 10 times as much, and for savvy entrepreneurs in today's difficult economy, retention is the new acquisition. Thankfully, Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, has developed a proven client retention strategy so powerful, it more than doubled the time his average clients stay with his business, from 6 months to 17 months, producing a huge increase in profits. Jim's amazing program is called Double My Retention, and it can work for your business as well. Jim will show you step by step exactly what he did in his business that causes his clients to stay longer and spend more. You'll even discover Jim's secret strategy that causes some clients who cancel their memberships to actually continue paying him money. Visit www.doublemyretention.com and start boosting your retention and profits now. That's www.doublemyretention.com.
And we're back. Let's get right back to the interview with Jason Mars.
You know, how do you know, Jason, for example, when your price is too high? I mean, other than you'd have no sales. I mean, suppose somebody wants to keep inching up their price or, you know, maybe taking 3 steps at a time. What are some of the ways or some of the signals they're going to see to know that their price is too high?
Well, I'll tell you, it's entirely possible if you're not getting sales that your price is too low, because a low price can actually repel more buyers than it attracts. Example I like to give is what would you say if I offered you a $30 Rolex? And, you know, of course you're going to say it's a fake unless you know absolutely nothing at all about watches, because when you beat a Rolex with a hammer, and the metal's still going to be worth more than $30. So you got to start adding zero. So anybody that knew anything wouldn't buy that. And sort of the point to that story is there are many things that can mask themselves as being your price being too high. You know, maybe your marketing isn't good. It's attracting the wrong people. There are a lot of things. But where I would look, if I want to look and see what's happening with my price, is the after sale. How happy are they? Are they coming back? Am I getting complaints? Am I getting returns? And if those are bad numbers, then you need to rethink your price, either to ratchet it down to match the value that these people perceive that they're getting, or better, raise your value to match the price that you're charging and make them happier.
You know, that's pretty important. I remember my very first info product maybe 5-6 years ago was an ebook, and I priced it at $47. I shortly thereafter became friends with Alexandria Brown, and she interviewed me for her community and said, "Jim, I'm going to interview you, but your book, you have to put it up to $97. And I'm like, "Really?" Humming. I was like all nervous. And I put it up to $97, and I sold more, the exact same book. I'll forever be grateful to her for that lesson, but it's just like you with the Rolex story. People will assign a value based on the price, you know? And if it's too low, it does not have perceived value. I'll tell you another quick story just for the sake of everybody listening. There was somebody I was coached about getting into the info marketing business, and he was developing this program how to teach photographers how to market themselves, but also how to sell into the school market, I guess, for, you know, class portraits. And he developed these three different levels, and he said he's got all excited, massive action, got it ready to go, and he said, "My prices are 37, 47, and 57. And I said, "Okay, I love what you've designed, but your price is 47, 77, and 97. And he's like, "Same thing, humming, I don't know if I do that." Well, he did it, and he sold 10. First teleseminar out of the gate, he sold 10. They were all at the $97 price point. So,
sure.
You know, I think a lot of people, Jason, really, really have a hard time with charging what they're worth.
Sure. You know, and everybody forgets that old saying, you get what you pay for. And the reality of it is, with all things being equal, if there's no other decision no other way to judge the decision, people will buy by price. But there's still a pretty significant percentage that will actually take the higher priced option when there's no other deciding factors. I'm in that group. You know, my general, you know, you can argue, "Oh, well, you'll get screwed that way." Well, you get screwed going with the cheap one, too. Every time I go with the cheap thing, I always regret it. Always. Because there's, again,
exactly,
those costs that you always incur.
You have a section in your book, and I love it. It was called Staff Sabotage. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. You know, that's again, where the business owner has problems with price and with asking for higher fees because, you know, they have all these hang-ups that have, you know, really come down through probably generations and is societal as a whole. Staff's got the same problems. And you can have all the right systems in place. You can have all the right ideas about price and have, frankly, the perfect price picked. But if your staff is out there doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong things, and is uncomfortable with it, you're not going to get that price accomplished because they're going to sabotage you. So you've got to do everything that you can to get them on board and make sure that they're on board, you know, using whatever resources are available to you to do that. But you've got to understand, if they don't get on board, they got to go away because they'll poison the entire well.
Exactly. You know, for those business owners that have actual interaction with customers, brick and mortar, whatever, you know, sometimes you're right. People, it's hard enough for the owner to trying to think how I can say this and keep it G-rated, but I'll just take a stab at it, to grow a set, you know, and charge what they're worth and actually get the value they're worth. But it's really hard for, you know, employees to understand the value in pricing also. One of the things that episodes of Newsletter Guru TV I did was explaining that the longer you're in the business and the more you do what you do, it becomes second nature. You know, I likened it to teaching someone to drive a car, like a stick shift. And goodness gracious, your left foot's the clutch, your right foot's the gas, you got the shifter, you got the steering, you're looking in the mirrors, you're doing everything. But now, you know, five, ten years later, you can jump in a car and just drive, and all you're thinking about is, you know, where's my cell phone and what CD do I want to pop in? And you're just doing all the driving. And so what I think happens, and see if you agree with this, is that in our own minds it becomes dangerous because we know it only takes a short amount of time to do something, and therefore how can we charge that much money for it? Mm-hmm. I used to be in the bicycle business, Jason, and one of the things we didn't, you know, working on bicycles was, it was called truing the wheel, which is turning the spokes to make sure the wheel runs perfectly straight and smooth and round. And, you know, I was in the business a long time, and I could put a wheel and true it up in like 5 or 10 minutes, but it took me like 10 years to be able to do that. And, you know, I made the mistake one time. Somebody was coming in, I think it was a Saturday, he was going on a ride. I made the mistake of letting me watch me do it, and I whipped it through in 5, 10 minutes. It was done perfectly, and I said, that's $27, and he almost punched me, almost. And it was like, well, it only took you 10 minutes. I was like, listen, it took me 15 years to practice to be able to do it in 10 minutes. So sure. I think the one lesson there is you don't necessarily want to do something in front of the customer. But, you know, do you agree that we've become trapped in our own minds about what it is we know how to do, and it becomes less valuable in our minds than it does when you're, you know, somebody wants to hire you to do that thing?
Sure, sure. I mean, if you want to get a good idea of how good you are at something, hand it over to a beginner and let them do it and look at how long it takes. Again, that's why they're coming to you, because you're more proficient at doing whatever it is you do. So you should be rewarded for your skill set getting better, you know, not be punished for it. And that's this idea, like you're talking about, like this person watching it, they're equating value with time. Time and value don't necessarily go together. In reality, he should have been happier because you got that done in 10 minutes as opposed to 10 hours or an hour or 2 hours, whatever, and that should have been, well, we can get this done in this amount of time guaranteed, and here's what the rate is, and our rate's higher than everybody else's in town because we have this skill. Go ahead.
But now, I was going to say, speaking of Gary Halbert, I was listening to some old CDs of his. Which, by the way, folks, if you're not listening to Gary Halbert, check out. You can Google Gary Halbert, but he was always good friends with Joe Polish. And I bought something through Joe Polish, and his boys are kind of carrying on his legacy a little bit and selling some of the old CDs and tapes converted to CD. But I was listening to one the other day, Jason. The man is brilliant. I mean, Gary Halbert and Dan Kennedy are probably the two most brilliant marketing minds that I'm aware of. But he also said that it was a two-day mastermind, basically, and he was going to give all his brilliance away in 2 days. And about a half an hour in, he had the answer for one of the participants who paid, you know, $11,000 or something to be in Gary's presence, right? And he said, okay, first thing I need you – I have the answer, but I need you to go punch out some data. Can somebody just turn on a computer and punch out some data? Everybody's like, what? And he goes, because here's the thing. If I give you the answer this quickly, even though it's exactly what you need, it's worth millions of dollars to your business. If I give it to you this quickly, it has perceived less value than if it takes me a day or I have to crank out data and stuff like that. And everybody starts laughing. And I thought, that first of all, it's very true. And mm-hmm. Gary's point was so spot on. But he also said it goes a long way also to pointing out the type of customers that you want to work with, because he said he has customers, you know, let's say at the low end of whatever his pricing scale was, and he said those people give you the most trouble and demand the most. But he said, I could have people that would pay me $20,000 for an hour of my time, and if I get to their place and I dissect their problem and give them the answer in 10 minutes, he said, great, that's what I need, and I go on my way. They're fine with that. So it really has to do so much with the customer's mindset as yours also. Isn't that an interesting story?
Yeah, yeah, and it's beyond true. It's a great story. And again, you know, and the thing, time is a weird thing, because your time doing something, say years of experience, doesn't necessarily equate to value, because, you know, a lot of people get that hang up. Well, I haven't been in business that long, so I can't charge that much. Well, it's years in business often just is years presence, not dedication to the craft. And your dedication to the craft and your ability to produce results that they're looking for is what ultimately matters. If it's putting that, you know, straightening the wheel in 10 minutes versus an hour, that's the value. If it's, you know, fixing a kid's speech in a month as opposed to a year, that's the value. The time that it took you to get to that point, wholly irrelevant.
I hope you enjoy this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with my good friend Jason Mars. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.